ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8. The Lord slays the king of the demons. Text 53. Shri Kim Purusha Uchu. Vayam. Kim Purusha. Tvam. Tu Mahapurusha Ishvara Ayam Kupurusha Nashta Ditkrita Sadubi Yada. Shri Kim Purusha Uchu.
Shri Kim Purusha Uchu.
Vayam Kim Purushastvam Tu.
Vayam Kim Purushastvam Tu.
Mahapurusha Ishvara.
Mahapurusha Ishvara.
Ayam Ku Purusho Nashto.
Ayam Ku Purusho Nashto.
Dikrita sadubir yada.
Dikrita sadubir yada.
Vayam kim purushastvam tu.
Vayam kim purushastvam tu.
Mahapurusha Ishvara.
Mahapurusha Ishvara.
Ayam ku purusho nashto.
Ayam ku purusho nashto.
Dikrita sadubir yada. Vayam kim purushastvam tu.
Vayam kim purushastvam tu.
Mahapurusha Ishvara.
Mahapurusha Ishvara.
Ayam ku purusho nashto.
Ayam ku purusho nashto.
Dikrita sadubir yada.
Dikrita sadubir yada. Shri kim purusha uchu.
Shri kim purusha uchu.
Ladies.
Thank you.
Shri Kim Purusha Ushu. The inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka said, Vayam, we, Kim Purusha. The inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka, or insignificant living entities. Tvam, your lordship. To, however, Mahapurusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, I am this, Kupurusha, most sinful person, Hiranyakashipu. Nashta, slain. Dikrita, being condemned. Sadubi, by the saintly persons. Yada, when. Translation. The inhabitants of King Purusha Loka said, we are insignificant living entities, and you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller. Therefore, how can we offer suitable prayers unto you? When this demon was condemned by devotees because they were disgusted with him, he was then killed by you. Please repeat. The inhabitants of King Purusha Loka said, we are insignificant living entities. And you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Controller. Therefore, how can we offer suitable prayers unto you? When this demon was condemned by devotees, because they were disgusted with him, he was then killed by you. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The cause of the Supreme Lord's appearance upon this earth is stated in Bhagavad Gita 4, 7, and 8 by the Lord Himself. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijamyaham haritranaya sadunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samstapanarthaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious principles and a predominant rise in irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Lord appears in order to execute two kinds of activities, to kill the demons and to protect the devotees. When the devotees are too disturbed by the demons, the Lord certainly appears in different incarnations to give the devotees protection. The devotees, following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, should not be disturbed by the demoniac activities of the non-devotees. Rather, they should stick to their principles as sincere servants of the Lord and rest assured that the demoniac activities directed against them will not be able to stop their devotional service. Translation again. The inhabitants of King Purusha Loka said, "We are insignificant living entities, and you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller. Therefore, how can we offer suitable prayers unto you?" When this demon was condemned by devotees because they were disgusted with him, he was then killed by you. So in this verse, we find three words. Srimad Bhagavatam is so poetic. One word is Kim Purusha, insignificant living entities. Another word is Mahapurusha, the Supreme Person. And a third is Kupurusha, most sinful person. The living entities are insignificant, but when they are puffed up with false pride, they think that they are independent and can do whatever they like. And thus they transgress the laws of God and inflict pain upon other living entities, even devotees. And thus they become Kupurusha. Hiranyakashipu was such a powerful demon that no one within the universe could stop him. And therefore the Lord himself appeared as Nrisimhadev and killed him. We find a similar verse in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that describes how Ravana and his forces were killed by Ram and his army. The verse says that because Ravana was condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, he and his dynasty lost all of their power and were vanquished by Lord Ramachandra and his band of devotees, soldiers. So we find both principles, that if one wins the favor of a devotee, gains the favor of a devotee, gains the mercy of a devotee, then the mercy of the Lord will follow. And similarly, if one gains the disfavor of a devotee or devotees, the Lord will be displeased and take suitable action. I remember when the devotees in the Soviet Union were being persecuted by the government. Things came to the point where the devotees were arrested and put into prisons and psychiatric hospitals and labor camps in Siberia. It was a terrible situation. One devotee, very saintly devotee named Sachi Sutta, he died in prison. Just, of course, in a very Krishna conscious way, but he died in prison. one pregnant mother, her child died while she was in prison. So the authorities there not just persecuted the devotees, they actually tortured the devotees. And when I mentioned this to one of our friends in Bombay, Dr. N.D. Desai, Srinathji Das, he immediately said, then the Soviet Union is finished. Krishna will not tolerate. And at the time, no one could imagine that the Soviet Union should be finished. It was so powerful. It was the main rival of the United States. And then, fairly soon thereafter, we were all stunned by the news that, you know, there had been a revolt in Moscow and the government fell. There was a similar incident on a smaller level, but in principle it was the same type of situation. In Juhu, there was one demon named Mr. Nair who tried to cheat Srila Prabhupada and the devotees of the Juhu land. In brief, Srila Prabhupada had paid earnest money to buy the land, and on some pretext, Mr. Nair canceled the agreement, putting the blame on ISKCON for failing to fulfill one of the conditions. But as they say, possession is 9/10 of the law, and we had possession. In fact, practically the first thing Srila Prabhupada did when he got possession of the land was to bring the deities of Shishi Radharasa Vihari there, because he suspected there might be some trouble later. He felt as long as the deities were there, no one would be able to take the land away. But still, Mr. Nair tried, and he would do things like turn off the electricity, turn off the water. He hired one sort of tough South Indian guy named Ramu. There are a lot of coconut trees on the property, so he hired Ramu as the coconut walla to take the trees, the coconuts down from the trees to harvest them. But the real idea was that Ramu should intimidate the devotees, you know, frighten the devotees. So he would brandish this big knife, a machete or something, that he would use to cut down the coconuts. And really look in a very menacing way at the devotees. And he would also stand near the temple in the evening when it was time for Sandhyarti and Bhagavad Gita class, and try to scare people away from coming to the temple. And as it is, you know, the land, you know, could be very hot in Juhu, and there could be many mosquitoes and rats, big rats. Bombay rats are like, literally like this big. Yeah, there's a special breed. And devotees, and the thing about them is that when they would bite you, you couldn't feel it. So devotees would be asleep, and the rats would bite them, and they'd wake up, and they'd see there was blood on the floor, their own blood, and they didn't even know it. So Mr. Nair did his best to intimidate us and harass us and induce us to leave, but we didn't. So one day, Mr. Nair suddenly died of a heart attack. And Bali Mardan Prabhu was visiting in Bombay at the time, and he took the initiative and phoned Srila Prabhupada in Australia. And Prabhupada almost never took phone calls. But Shrutikirti Prabhu took the call, and Bali Mardan gave him the message. And Shrutikirti Prabhu related to Srila Prabhupada. And the next part is a little confidential, so Srila Prabhupada, as we heard later from Shrutikirti Prabhu, he folded his hand and said, thank you, Lord Nisringadev. And then he said, you know, he was causing too much pain to the devotees. And I remember the exact words, but the gist of it was that Prabhupada couldn't tolerate that he was causing so much pain to the devotees, so he prayed to Lord Nisringadev. So, although saintly persons, sadhus, the word here, sadhus, are by nature merciful, and personally they don't take offense, but if a demon is causing pain to others, specifically devotees, then even sadhus who are so saintly by nature and so merciful by nature, they may condemn the person. And then the person's future is not very bright in the material sense, in the sense that the person will be vanquished by the will of the Lord. Although spiritually, anyone who comes in touch with the Lord in any way gets some benefit. And the demons who are killed by the Lord directly are purified by the touch of the Lord and are liberated. In the case of Mr. Nair, of course, the devotees were jubilant upon his death. And Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to one of the devotees, a congregational devotee, who had written Srila Prabhupada to inform him. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back that it is, you know, if it is true that the demon Nair is dead, it is an occasion of great jubilation. And then he quoted from Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, which we'll be reading soon, that even saintly persons take pleasure when a snake or a scorpion is killed. So the devotees were very pleased, just like here. Devotees throughout the universe were pleased because the Lord had killed the great demon. And The same was true in Juhu. The devotees were very jubilant. But afterwards, when one of the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, sort of in the mood that, you know, now he should suffer for all the pain he caused, you know, suggesting, you know, that he might have taken birth as a snake. They thought Nair would have taken birth as a snake because he was so envious. And Prabhupada said, no, he would have taken birth as a human being. And the devotees were surprised, you know, what, he was so sinful, you know, so envious, so evil. He should have taken birth as a snake or gone to hell to suffer. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's true, but Krishna's nature is such that he sees the good more than the bad. So he saw that Mr. Nair came forward to offer us this land. So even though in between, you know, there were so many incidents, but still Krishna took it, oh, he came forward, he offered the land for the service of the deity and the devotees. So that would have mitigated all the other terrible things that he did. And so would take birth as a human being. So anyone who comes in touch with the Lord in any way, or anyone who comes in touch with the devotees in any way, benefits. And there are other instances in Srimad Bhagavatam when Narada, as an example, would curse a devotee who became bewildered by material opulence and intoxicated, just like Nala Kuvara and Manigriva. They were sons of Kuvera, very opulent, treasurer of the demigods, but they were literally intoxicated by drinking heavenly liquor, and they were enjoying naked in heavenly ponds with some beautiful ladies. And when Narada came, they were so intoxicated, not just with liquor, but with false prestige, that they had no shame. They didn't cover themselves. They didn't offer respects to him, and he cursed them to take birth as trees. But that curse was also a blessing, because in the end, they took birth in the trees of the courtyard of Nanda and Yashoda in Gokul, and they were delivered by Krishna as a baby. So anything that a devotee does is beneficial to a person, either his blessing or his curse. And in the same way, the Lord, being absolute, anything that he does, whether he blesses a person or kills a person, is beneficial for the person. But still, as devotees, our purpose is to serve the Lord and please the Lord, which we should do under any circumstances. Just like the devotees in Russia, they never stopped. They never stopped chanting. That was what the government wanted. They offered them, you know, if you just renounce Krishna consciousness, just repudiate Krishna consciousness, we'll let you free. Now they would try to intimidate them, you know. If you don't recant, we'll send you to Siberia, where you'll probably die in the cold, probably be eaten by some bear. But if you recant, if you give up Krishna consciousness, then we'll let you go free. But they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And of course in Juhu, devotees being, you know, inspired by Prabhupada, guided by Prabhupada, encouraged by Prabhupada, they stay. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, the devotees following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj should not be disturbed by the demoniac activities of the non-devotees. Rather, they should stick to their principles as sincere servants of the Lord and rest assured that the demoniac activities directed against them will not be able to stop their devotional service. That was true. Even the devotees who were imprisoned in Russia, they continued their devotional activities. There was hardly anything they could eat. I mean, there was hardly anything for any of the prisoners, but because they didn't eat meat, there was even less for them, pretty much just bread and water. But they would take the bread and make it into beads. They'd like press the bread and mold it into beads and make japa mala from the bread. They continued. They stuck to their principles and their devotional service was not stopped. And Sachi Sutta, the devotee who I mentioned who died in prison, seems that he had a premonition that he was going to die. Of course, he was very sick, and he repeatedly asked the authorities just for, like, I forget, something so minimal just to keep his body and soul together. But they wouldn't give it. They're just so mean and cruel. So on the last day, he apparently had the sense that he was going to leave. So he asked his prison mate. Actually, the devotees found out about this years later when the prison mate met some devotees. And he said, not only was he not a devotee, he didn't even believe in God. He was like an atheist or an agnostic. Although by Sachi Sutta's association, he became a believer. And so on the last day, Sachi Sutta asked him to shave him up. And he shaved up, and then he took one of the bed sheets and wrapped it around himself like a dhoti. And he put on tilak from some powder. Huh?
He used the toothpaste.
Yes, he used the toothpaste to make tilak. And then he sat down on his bed, you know, chanting the holy names in a very meditative pose, cross-legged, back erect. And in the meantime, his roommate or prison mate went out of the room. And when he came back, he saw Sachi Sutta was still sitting on the bed, you know, like a yogi, with a very beatific smile on his face. He thought, wow, he must really be relishing internal bliss. And then, but there was no movement, you know. And he called his name and there's no response. And eventually just sort of nudged him. His body fell over. And then he knew that he had left in such a glorious Krishna conscious way. So, they should Devotees following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj should stick to their principles as sincere servants of the Lord and rest assured that the demoniac activities directed against them will not be able to stop their devotional service. Hare Krishna. Yeah, Nityananda Prabhu said we can do more than one verse in this section. But still, if there are any questions or comments on this one, we could entertain them. Yes, Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu.
I remember hearing about the devotees in Bombay when several devotees got thrown in jail. Was that in accordance with this incident also? And then they were also doing the puja in their mind and worshiping the deities.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Well, there were actually two incidents. After Mr. Nair died, as we hear it, his wife got some life insurance money, which she used to bribe the municipality and the police to come and demolish the little temple that we had for Radharasa Bihari. And they did it, you know, after her husband left. You know, it's very typical, just like you read in the Bhagavatam, all the demonic friends came forward and, you know, we can't let them get away with this, you know, like, so when the devotees would come forward to try to stop the demolition squad from dismantling the temple, they would be, you know, put in the police paddy wagon, and then they were taken to the police station. And, yeah. But that was only for some hours. Then, you know, that situation was reversed. But there was another incident later when 9 devotees were arrested, and they were in jail for many days. I mean, I was working day and night to try to get them out, but it took a long time. They were charged with murder. That's another story. But the devotees set up like altars in the cells, and they were having Mangal Arati and Bhagavad Gita class and kirtan, and they were having a great time. And the other prisoners, they loved it. They loved it. Yeah, Sridhar Swami was like the leader of the group in prison. Amoghalila Prabhu was there. Many great souls. And it was a full-fledged Krishna conscious program. And when the devotees were finally released on bail, the other prisoners were very sorry to see them go because they were so enlivened in their association. Yes, that's a good, very good example. All right, text 54. Shri Vaitalika Uchu Sabasushatrena Tavamalam Yasho Gitva Saparyam Mahatim Labamahe Yastam Anishid Vashamesha Durjano Dvishtya Hataste Bhagavan Yathamaya. Translation. The inhabitants of Vaitalika Loka said, "Dear Lord, Because of chanting your spotless glories in great assemblies and arenas of sacrifice, we were accustomed to great respect from everyone. This demon, however, usurped that position. Now, to our great fortune, you have killed this great demon, exactly as one cures a chronic disease. There's no purport to the verse, but there's one interesting point here. The inhabitants of Vaitalika Loka said that they were accustomed to great respect from everyone. It seems like a material consideration. And going through the synonyms, I saw sabashu in great assemblies, satreshu in the arenas of sacrifice, tava amalam yasha, your spotless reputation, gitva, singing. So they would sing of the Lord's reputation, spotless reputation. And the result was laba mahe ya tvam. They received a similar respectful position. So it's a very simple principle. Like, if you glorify the Lord, you will be glorified. Your life will be glorified, and you will be glorified. Or, as Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say, the servant of the king enjoys almost on the same level as the king. He has all the same facilities as the king. But his mood is as servant, not enjoyer. And as long as he maintains the mood of servant, then he enjoys. And as soon as he tries to usurp the king's position, like Hiranyakasipu did with the Lord, tried to usurp the Lord's position, then he suffers. He loses everything. Text 55. Sri Kinara Uchu Vayam isha ki naraganas tavanuga titi jena vishti manu manu karita bhavat tahare savrijina va vasadito narasimhanatha vibhavaya no bhava. The Kinnara said, O Supreme Controller, we are ever-existing servants of your lordship, but instead of rendering service to you, we were engaged by this demon in his service, constantly and without remuneration. This sinful man has now been killed by you. Therefore, O Lord Nisringadeva, our master, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Please continue to be our patron. So their prayer is similar to the one that we read yesterday, where the best of the servants of the Lord complained that they had been engaged in the service of the demon, as his palanquin bearers. So the nature of the living entity, the dharma of the living entity, the intrinsic characteristic of the living entity is to render service. So the living entity has no problem with rendering service in principle, but the question is whom he's going to serve. And when the living entity serves the Lord and the devotees, he's happy. And when he's forced to serve a demon, he's unhappy. But sometimes we do have to serve demons. But at least we get paid. And we can use the money to serve the Lord and devotees. But here they're complaining that we had to serve the demon and he didn't even pay us. So there's no benefit at all. But fortunately you came and killed him. So please remain our patron. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Is she Virati today, Maharaj?
Yes, it is. I had thought of speaking about Lord Shiva, but then I thought in the morning we should continue our discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam, but I was going to see if there would be people in the temple in the evening we could speak about him in the evening. That's a good point. So when would that be? 7? When is the aarti at 6:30? So maybe we'll discuss the greatest Vaishnav in the evening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.